It's game type player.
Fantasy football lifestyle. Eric Hamilton, RAE, fantasy football expert.
He's got a very unique style, almost European.
K-Zoo, Guru.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable, and I'm just ferocious.
Football Sensei, Eric Hamilton. Anytime he comes on, he kills it. With this information right here, man, you're going to be able to go bum rush your lead, man. Get in the cypher.
Welcome to week four of the Fantasy Cypher with Eric Hamilton and Real Sports Guys and RealSportsGuys.com. We're coming back for the third time this season to really get your game tight, like the Game Changer said, get your game tight. Eric, how you doing this week, my man?
Man, I'm fantastic, man. We're at week four already. I'm excited. At this particular point in the season, we're starting to see which teams are real, which teams are contenders, which ones are pretenders, and how that translated to the fantasy world. So I'm ready to rock the house.
Well, Eric, we're going to do things a little bit different this week, man. RSG, renegade style, like Marcus the Game Changer would say, loosen up the tie. So I'm going to kick it off in the intro. We play a clip from you. When you talked about Chris Bosh, you said that he's almost European. Break down your Chris Bosh analysis so our listeners who are just joining us kind of have a background for you.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Man, it was funny how it came about. But, Chris Bosh, he has a game, and based on his size, his game isn't a typical player for his size. I mean, typically a player of his size, you're going to get a guy that can, you know, back you down. But Chris Bosh is a little different. You know, he's not going to bang you. Yeah, he's not going to, you know, really block shots. He's one of those European guys where he can shoot pretty well. He can rebound good. But he's just not your prototypical player. He's your dirt type of guy. You know, he's just a little bit different. His style is almost European, but he has a little pizzazz to let you know that, hey, I'm still an American. You know, he's got a little flair to himself.
All right, okay. I hear you. I just need to get you warm up. We're going to get you refocused now to talk about some football. So in the Fantasy Football Cypher, this is your first time joining us. Eric is a resident football guy / fantasy football guy for RealSportsGuys.com. Eric breaks down what you need to know heading into your fantasy football weekend. So we're going to get into offensive players. We're going to get into defenses. We're going to get into the defensive players. I mean, we're going to get you set up regardless of what type of league you're in. So, Eric, let's just jump on in, man. So let's talk about waiver wire pickups. Who's somebody you have on your radar where our listeners may consider to see if they're available in their league right now?
Yeah. You know, there's quite a few out there. You know, you got guys like the Jarquez Rogers, but a lot of, you know, he's gone in a lot of leagues. You know, Andrew Hawkins, Bilal Powell, Jerome Simpson. I mean, those are some really good ones. Kendall Wright. But for me, I've got my eye on Kyle Rudolph. I mean, Kyle Rudolph, again, the tight end from Minnesota Vikings. The guy can just flat out ball. He's a nice size guy, and he has great chemistry with Christian Ponder. He's a second-year player. He's got 3 touchdowns in his last 2 weeks, and he's had 5 receptions in week 1 and week 3. So the only concern that I have about Kyle Rudolph is his consistency. So you've got a second-year player, you've got a second-year quarterback. So, you know, Christian Ponder is going to have some up-and-down weeks along with Kyle Rudolph. But overall, this guy is an excellent tight end, and he has the potential and ability to be one of the best tight ends on your roster, not just a bye-week filler, but someone that can actually be one of the best tight ends on your team. Keep an eye out on Kyle Randolph. The guy is going to be a top 10, actually a top 7 tight end by the end of the season. Mark
Marlowe. Wow. Top 7. You like him that much?
I'm highly impressed by the guy. I am highly impressed by him, and he continues to get better. There was a lot of hype coming into the preseason, a lot of hype last year in regard to him. But obviously Jimmy Graham was a sunshine guy last year along with Gronk. So, you know, this year I see it. He's performing. Yeah, he's a top 7 tight end end of the year, bottom line.
Well, Eric, let's shift from overperformers to some underperformers.
Oh,
who are some guys that our listeners might be able to pick up at a real cheap price right now?
You know, the first person I'm going to throw out, you're not going to get this guy for nothing, okay? He's still an elite player, but he hasn't performed well. None other than Detroit Lions' very own Matthew Stafford. So in this buy low segment, what I mean is the value of Matt Stafford right now is a little bit lower than what it has been in the past. Number one, he has an injury going on. So as of right now, we do not know the severity of this injury. We don't think it's too bad, but he was not able to finish that game. They have another game this week against Minnesota, and then the bye week is coming up. So most likely they're going to hold him out if this injury has any kind of significance to it. The other thing to keep in mind is that he has just 3 touchdowns to 4 interceptions so far this year. Those numbers alone are bad numbers. This is why you may have some managers that will begin to panic. Again, they're not going to give him away for nothing, but he's not helping their team right now. 3 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. That's not an all-star caliber. That's not what you want to spend your first or second round pick on doing. Think about this. The potential is there. He's in one of the highest prolific offenses in the league. He's got Calvin Johnson at his disposal. He's got Titus Young. And then also they got Mikal LeShore finally running the ball to be able to keep the defense honest. Now, if you can pull him out, if you can get a Matt Stafford for a little bit less, I'm talking about you might be able to put maybe a second round running back or something like that. You gotta value, so you gotta put a couple of running backs, maybe a running back tight end, something like that. But to get Matt Stafford at this particular point in time, you'll get great value out of him toward the end of the season when it really counts, which is toward the playoffs.
Matthew Stafford is a bit surprising that you have here on your buy low list. Give the listeners some perspective of where you think his value was at pre-draft, preseason, and where you think his value is at now in terms of the type of guy you have to move to get him.
Yeah, absolutely, Phil. Pre-draft, this guy was a top-5 quarterback. After you finished up with Brady, Breeze, and Rodgers, he was right there. He was 4 or 5. You know, some people had Vic in there. I've heard Cam Newton. But he was right in that top 5. But I think with the slow start, the injury, and again, historically speaking, he has been an injury-prone quarterback until he can really show that consistency. That injury factor is always something to be leery of. So I think right now he's probably still at the top 10 range, but I think that value has dropped. I think that moved down quite a bit. So I think the owners, again, because fantasy football, it's about what's going to happen right now, trying to get that next W. So I think his value has dropped to probably a top 9, maybe 10 quarterback right now.
Give us an idea of a guy you might be able to trade for Matt Stafford.
Yeah, well, I think it'll be very difficult to do a one-for-one with Matt Stafford. It'd be kind of difficult to do that. But you could package together quarterbacks that have potential or quarterbacks that have done a lot better than Matt Stafford this year. Matt Schaub, for instance. Matt Schaub has 5 touchdowns, 1 interception. Matt Schaub has had a pretty decent begin to the year. He's on a good team. He does have a name. A lot of times fantasy football, whether you like it or not, it's about having a name that people know. So Matt Schaub has had a good season so far. So if you can package a Matt Schaub or a Joe Flacco, packaging a Joe Flacco, again, his name is getting big out there, with a Reggie Wayne or a Percy Harvin, something like that. Again, Percy Harvin, he's a very versatile player, actually a really good fantasy football player. Packaging one of those two, you know, Percy Harvin, Reggie Wayne with a Matt Schaub or a Joe Flacco, I think the owners would have to think a few times before pulling the trigger on that. I think that's a trade that you may want to consider if you have that type of tier players on your team.
You're listening to Real Sports Guys on RealSportsGuys.com. We're here in the Fantasy Football Cypher with Eric Hamilton. Now, next in the buy low segment here, Eric, you have a wide receiver from Tennessee that you think managers should look at buying low right now.
Kenny Britt is the starting wide receiver for the Tennessee Titans, and he has wide receiver 1 or elite wide receiver talent. And the thing about Kenny Britt is he hasn't performed very well thus far. He's coming off of that injury to his ankle, and he has been very slow to start, but so has the entire Tennessee Titan offense. Last week, they had a fury of points. Most of the points were scored on special teams and defense. However, we did see the emergence, I'm going to say, of Jake Locker. So Kenny Britt is one that you can keep your eye on, you know, basically because he has that elite wide receiver talent. So again, Kenny Britt is a receiver that you can pick up, again, for a very inexpensive price because he hasn't performed right now. He just hasn't put up those numbers, so you can get him for someone relatively on the low chart, a wide receiver two, maybe a three, pick him up and hold him until that offense begins to produce and be able to cash in on him right around the time of the playoffs when he's nice and healthy. Again, if, as long as he continues to play, he'll put up top 15, top 17 numbers, and it's someone that you can probably get and, you know, for a fourth-round talent, something like that. So Kenny Britt is another gentleman to keep my eye on.
All right, before you give us our last buy low, let's pay some bills.
Resistance Digital Solutions. Are you tired of running to the boys in blue? Are you done with listening to sales staff trying to upsell you technology that you don't need? We've all been there. So, what did the real sports guys do? We contacted Resistance Digital Solutions for all our technology needs. They are not there to meet sales quotas or make profit margins. They simply just want to sell you what you need at a fair price. From iPads to PCs to flat screens, TVs, or intricate home theater systems, they customize every solution based on your needs. Check out their website at www.resistancedigital.com or email them at sales@resistancedigital.com for your custom technology solutions today.
All right, Eric, I'm coming right back to you. I'm feeding you in the post. Who else do you have on your buy low list?
Man, this one is out there. But I'm going the Green Bay Packer offense, Phil. I'm throwing everybody over there. I'm saying this. These are elite guys, elite receivers, elite quarterback, a pretty good running back, a durable running back. These are guys right now that just not have, they have not performed or lived up to the expectation. Aaron Rodgers, a buy low, check. How about Jordy Nelson and Greg Jennings, Kalamazoo's finest, check. And even Cedric Benson. These are the kind of guys, again, Aaron Rodgers, he was the number one overall pick in most drafts, or a lot of drafts, that is. So are you going to be able to throw a DeMarcus Murray or something like that at him? No. But if you can find a manager that has a need, that's a weakened running back, weakened receiver, and throw a couple of second rounds out there, a second, a third, and a nice picks for him, yeah, he may be willing to move him because Aaron Rodgers just hasn't performed yet. Jennings coming off of the injury, he has not performed to potential. Jordy Nelson hasn't performed to potential. Those are guys that you may want to check for. Buy them low. They will be available.
Eric, you're blessing the mic. You're listening to the Real Sports Guys on RealSportsGuys.com. We're here in the Fantasy Football Cypher with Eric Hamilton heading into the fourth weekend of the NFL season. Eric so far has talked about waiver wire pickups as well as buy low. So, Eric, let's transition to some of the injuries that have happened this past weekend. We had guys dropping like flies, man. Bring us up to speed on the status of some of these injuries, as well as the guys that may be stepping in for them.
Absolutely, Phil. Again, I'm a big defensive guy. I mean, you know, you can pretty much go to a ton of sites and find out information offensively on the CJ Spillers of the world, etc. But on the defensive side, if you play in an IDP league, that's when it really counts because it's hard to get defensive information. Sometimes I will not even get a status update on a defensive player until after the game has started. I mean, give me a break. So, just to keep you posted on what's going on, Darrell Revis, as most folks know, he's out for the season with a torn ACL. Top cover corner in the league, Revis Island is done. So second-year player Kyle Wilson will slide into the lineup. He's going to get picked on quite a bit. Patrick Willis, as you know, he's got a sprained ankle. We still don't know if he's going to play yet, but that's a situation to monitor. But I'd look at someone like a Larry Grant, which is his backup. He's always performed well in relief of Patrick Willis. So Larry Grant is someone I would keep my eye on, or maybe even scoop him up just as insurance, just in case Patrick Willis does not perform this week. There's a few guys on my list, Phil, that defensively they're big names. Okay, so if you convert it on the offensive side, you've got like the likes of an Arian Foster and Wes Welker's, those sorts of players on the defensive side that just haven't lived up to the potential. Just hasn't did what they're supposed to do yet, Phil. It's kind of frustrating. Lawrence Timmons so far. He used to be an IDP stud. Well, he had another disappointing performance. I'm cutting this guy on all teams, not messing with him anymore. He's got 12 tackles on the season. Let him go. He's got 12 tackles on the season. I know his name sounds good, and he was an IDP stud. Let the guy go. It's time to let this guy go on. Justin Tuck.
Cannot play with him. Cannot win with him. Cannot coach with him. Can't do it.
Can't do it. Can't do it. You know what I can't do either? Justin Tuck. He failed to register a sack again. He looks sluggish. He's complacent on the season. I don't feel comfortable with this guy on my roster. You know what? He's got 10 tackles, 0 sacks on the season. You know what, Phil? I can't play with him. The last one that I have, my heart, Jared Allen. He's got 4 tackles on the season. You played in 3 games and you got 4 tackles. I'm wondering, what are you doing on the field all day? He's got 1 sack, and it was a garbage time sack. Disappointed with him. I'm giving the guy another week. But again, we're talking about big names out there. But you know what? As you just put on, I can't win with him. Can't play with him, Phil.
I'm glad you was able to get that off your chest, man. You feeling better?
I'm feeling a little better now. Now I'm ready to move on because those boys are getting my blood pressure rising.
Well, this sounds like a perfect time to give Eric a breather, let his blood pressure come back down, and let the listeners know that we will have RotoWire.com, Luke Hoover, one of the senior writers, fantasy football writer, NFL writer for RotoWire.com, will be joining us on our live show next Tuesday, 8:30 Central to 10:30 Central. And actually, Eric and I will be interviewing Luke, so we're looking forward to kind of pick his brain in terms of fantasy football suggestions headed into week 5. So we got a lot coming out for you all in the near future. So Eric, whenever I talk to you, you always have a very unique approach and opinions around scorekeepers, specifically the importance that the official scorekeepers have on the impact of defensive players and IDP formats. Break this down for the listeners.
You know, let's get to the fundamental piece first. So you've got in the defensive league. So the major difference between the offense-only fantasy football and the IDPs is the subjectivity of scorekeeping. On the offensive side of the ball, Phil, if you throw me the ball and I catch it, and it's 10 yards, well, doggone it, it's 10 yards. On the defensive side, it's a little bit different. Things become a little bit less clear. Okay, so you got 2 defensive guys. They get to the ball carrier roughly around the same time. Well, does someone get a solo and someone get assist? Do they both get assist? Who knows? It's a lot of subjectivity. And that's why it's important to kind of look at the different scorekeepers, because you can kind of learn the different tendencies that each scorekeeper at home provides. Some scorekeepers are going to be one person is going to get the solo. There is no assist. And then other scorekeepers are going to just go crazy with assists, and both parties get the assist. So, for an example, I'm going to talk a little bit about the discrepancies of the top 3 scorekeepers and the bottom 3. And you will see the vast difference. Washington Redskins, the scorekeeper, the home scorekeeper, is so friendly with assists. Okay, it's the friendliest assist place in the league, if that makes any sense. There are 69 assisted tackles handed out for the Washington Redskins scorekeeper. 69 in 3 games. Actually, I don't even know if it's been 3 games. So then we've got number 2, Seattle Seahawks with 68, Cincinnati Bengals with 66. Now again, what this means is those scorekeepers, when they play at Washington, at Seattle, at Cincinnati, you can expect more assists. So when you're making your roster to see who's going to start on the defensive end, if you have someone that's playing in Washington, in Seattle, or in Cincinnati, those are folks you may want to get bumped to because the scorekeeper is more friendly on the assisted tackles. Now let's compare those numbers, 69, 68, and 66, to the bottom 3 scorekeepers. The St. Louis Rams, they have given out 5 assists so far. Jacksonville Jaguars, 7 assists so far. Philadelphia Eagles, 8 assists so far. What that means again is the scorekeepers are not as friendly. Now, this is only 3 weeks into the season, so once we get to week 6, 7, the numbers will become a little bit more clear. but you can see the discrepancy between the top three scorekeepers and the bottom three scorekeepers. Again, the thing you want to take out of this is when it's time to make a decision on a player that is going to play in Washington or a player that's playing in St. Louis. Now, I'm not comparing Laurinaitis with Perry Riley or something like that where it's a done deal. If you got Laurinaitis, you're going to play Laurinaitis. I don't care where he's at. But if we're talking about a second-tier player on either team, I'm going with the one that's playing in Washington because the scorekeeper is so much more friendlier. Okay, so that's my analysis on the scorekeepers and the importance of having and making sure which scorekeepers are more friendly than others.
Where can listeners get this information in terms of the scorekeepers, assisted tackle totals, and so forth?
You know, a lot of information, again, it's just knowing where to find it. You can Google things like wanting to look at home scorekeeper tackles or assists, and you can find a couple of different places. I would go to Google first, and then it'll come up with a few different places, and then you may have to do a little bit of calculations, but start with Google. Google can get you anywhere. Again, you just want to do a search for the top scorekeepers in NFL football, top home scorekeepers in NFL football, something along those lines, and then you'll be able to come up with several or a few, at least, websites that had that information at your disposal.
Defensive players, Dub. Let's go down the list here. Let's talk about a defensive lineman that's got you excited coming up on week four.
You know, I tell you what, Carlos Dunlap out of Cincinnati, he was a preseason sleeper. The guy, I actually had him ranked pretty high. I had my eye on the guy. He missed the first two games this year with a knee injury. So, of course, his stock just plummeted, okay? But last week, his first game in action, the guy had two tackles for a loss. He got a sack, a forced fumble, and a fumble recovery. The kid is ultra-talented. I mean, he's got talent for days. And the guy can just post numbers. He's a great pass rusher. Again, I hate to compare all the freaks to Pierre Paul, but he has that ability to get to the quarterback where you've got that freakish athletic ability. You've got guys that, you know, would typically be basketball players. They're not playing D-line. They're playing linebackers. They're playing football. So you have that ability. I think that he has the potential to be one of the top D linemen in the league if he can keep this up, and I think he will. I think Carlos Dunlap from Cincinnati is a lineman, a left end, that you want to keep your eye on.
You are listening to The Real Sports Guys on RealSportsGuys.com. We're here with Eric Hamilton for his Week 4 Fantasy Football Cipher. Eric, linebackers. In our league, we can start two linebackers and also start a third if we want to as our defensive flex position. A good linebacker in our league will get you 15 to 25 points a week. Give us a linebacker that's got you excited this week.
Well, I tell you what, out of Jacksonville Jaguar, a team that I really used to love, Russell Allen is a strong linebacker. Boy, he is a tackler. He gets to the ball. Now, his numbers have increased over the last 2 weeks because Darryl Smith has been out. And boy, has this guy taken advantage of that opportunity, Russell Allen. In the last two games, he has 13 tackles and 11 tackles with a pass deflected in both of those games, respectively. Again, when Darryl Smith went out, this guy became a monster. He is an every down linebacker, which means he's not leaving on third down. The guy will get a healthy amount of tackles, obviously, because Jacksonville is going to be on the field. You can't help it. They're kind of bad. They're going to be on the field quite a bit, so he's going to have his opportunity to get tackles. I love bad teams. I love linebackers on bad teams because they're going to be out there for a long time, and he's going to have a lot of opportunity for tackles. So Darryl Smith has been ruled out for week four against the matchup in Cincinnati. And I tell you what, Cincinnati loves to run that ball. It's a great matchup for linebackers. This is a guy that you can plug in, and you can expect him anywhere between 8 to 11 tackles going forward. I like Russell Allen out of Jacksonville.
Russell Allen out of Jacksonville, write it down. Defensive backs, talk about one that you think is going to have a good week this week.
You know, first off, this is a guy's name that always baffles me. His name is Atari Bigby, okay?
Let's take a pause. Eric, what was your favorite Atari game?
There was, I'm trying to remember the name, there was a race car game that I had.
Pole position.
Yeah. That was awesome. That was my favorite game. I used to play it nonstop, and I used to love it. And my brother and sister used to have to play with me because my mom made them.
You know, man, my favorite was Dr. J versus Bird. They played a one-on-one basketball game, and they used to shatter the backboard, or at least Dr. J did. I don't know if Bird ever did. And then my second one was actually a hockey game. I believe it was called Blades of Glory. You remember that one?
For some strange reason, I do. I don't even know why I remember that.
All right. All right, let's cut back in. Defensive back, Atari. Go right ahead.
Yeah, so Atari Bigsby. Again, he's out of San Diego. Now, that position, the strong safety in San Diego, that has been a nice fantasy position for a while. Most folks are familiar with Eric Waddell, and that guy, he's been roaming around making tackles for years now. But now he's been in several deep zones, so the coverage is kind of changing. So Bigsby has been spending a lot of time in the line of scrimmage. I mean, he's a guy that can make some tackles. He's a big guy. So he'll put up a steady amount of tackles. So if you're in a league where tackles are important, this is one of the defensive backs that you're going to want. In the last game against the pass-happy Falcons, he had 15 tackles. That's 15 for a defensive back. I mean, that's a lot of numbers. And this week, he has the Chiefs coming to town. And I don't know how many folks are paying attention, but Dwayne Bowe gets a ton of targets. And a lot of times they're garbage targets, but he gets a ton of targets. So you can better believe, again, that Atari Bigsby will be big. Jamal Charles is coming off with a phenomenal game, 200-plus yards, almost 300 total yards. So you can expect a lot of tackling to go on against the Kansas City Chiefs. So Atari Bigsby, San Diego, I'm rolling with him.
So now we got some bonus time. We got some bonus fantasy football talk with Eric Hamilton, perhaps some overtime. And we're going to do a new segment here that the Game Changer started a few years ago on RSG called Game Recognized Game. So I'm going to ask you, Eric, we're going to take you back in the way back machine. And this is off the dome for Eric. Eric has no prep for this question. Warren Moon and Jim Kelly. Warren Moon used to play with the Oilers. He finished his career with, I believe, the Vikings, and maybe went to the Chiefs after that as well. But his glory years were with the Oilers, the Houston Oilers. For our younger listeners, yes, Houston used to have a team, and they weren't called the Texans. And the other guy we talked about is Jim Kelly. Jim Kelly is one of the best quarterbacks to ever play a game. Played his entire career in Buffalo. Both of these are Hall of Famers. They played in the 80s and early 90s. If you had to choose a quarterback between those two, Warren Moon and Jim Kelly, who would it be?
Well, I'll be honest with you, Phil. I'm a little bit biased on Warren Moon. Warren Moon was my favorite quarterback growing up. In my opinion, Warren Moon is one of the most natural passing quarterbacks that we've ever seen. He had one of the prettiest balls and some of the best velocity on a ball that you could ever see. He was, in my time, I'll say, he was one of the first teams or first quarterbacks that was using the run-and-shoot offense. I mean, basically what we see now as the shotgun, you know, that most collegiate levels are running now, and you see quite a bit with Green Bay and Atlanta Falcons and such like that. You know, the Houston Oilers were one of the originals that had that. And, I mean, I can remember video games or even the real life watching this game play, the guy play, and Warren Moon was just an absolute beast. He would post phenomenal numbers every single year. The guy could just flat out throw the ball. I believe he went to the CFL before he got an opportunity to play in the NFL, and he set records over there.
5 years in Edmonton,
Absolutely. So the guy, in my opinion, and again, like I said, I'm a little bit biased because I grew up idolizing the guy. He is a legend. I would take him just about over any quarterback, just about though. But hands down, I'm going with Warren Moon, but I highly respect the great Jim Kelly. He was a great quarterback, but my money, I'm going with Warren Moon.
Now, of course, we're talking about fantasy football. You know, one of the things about Moon, of course, fantasy football wasn't around or wasn't as prevalent as it is now, I should probably say, when Kelly and Moon were in their heyday. But when you look at Moon's numbers, his touchdown to interception ratio was not strong. You know, you look at one of his better seasons when he played for Houston in 1991. He threw for almost 4,700 yards. He had 23 touchdowns and 21 interceptions. Even arguably his best season in 1990, where he had a passer rating, his highest passer rating was close to 100 at 97. He threw for 33 touches and 13 interceptions. So surprisingly, Jim Kelly, I would argue, would actually be the stronger fantasy play between those two if we're looking away from who was our favorite player and who would be the better fantasy play. What do you think about that?
Well, that makes sense. I think Jim Kelly had by far the better team as well. He had the better weapons. You know, he had DeDermond Thomas. He had, you know, Reed and such. And, I mean, he had a great defense. And Cornelius Bennett and Daryl Talley and Bruce Smith. So I think overall he had the better team. He had the better weapons. Now, I don't think that those same stats translate the same way in now, day and age, the way the passing era is. The rules and such that were around back then were heavily favored for the defense. So your Deion Sanders and such, they could basically press you all the way down the field. A little bit different now where you can't really touch a receiver after 5 yards. Everything is just pretty much open run around. So the game has changed now. I'm thinking now, I'm taking Warren Moon. I understand his numbers may not be as good, but in my humble opinion, Warren Moon can flat out throw that ball. Same way, you know, I don't mention Brett Favre, but Brett Favre can throw the ball. But I'm going with Warren Moon. I think Kelly had the better team. I'm thinking if it happened right now and both of them were in their heyday, I think that Warren Moon would have the better numbers because he'd be forced to throw more often because Jim Kelly had the better team.
Yeah, you got a good point there. Kelly had a bit of a better career passing rating number, but actually his interception, a touchdown interception ratio is actually worse than Moon's. He threw 240 career touchdowns versus 175 interceptions. You know, you look at one of his stronger years in 1992, where they went to the Super Bowl. He threw for 3,400 yards, and he threw 23 touchdowns and 19 interceptions. But again, he didn't have to throw nearly as much. His attempts were down about 20%. Over the course of his career when compared to Warren Moon. So just a little bit of a fantasy what-if scenario for Eric here. Eric, want to thank you again for coming on, man. Had a good time with you.
It's my pleasure, man. It's my pleasure. Thanks, everybody, for checking out the Cypher. We'll be back in a couple weeks to drop some more knowledge on you.
So there you have it, another weekend that you're heading into prepared. Thanks to Eric Hamilton, RealSportsGuys.com on a fantasy football cipher. We've got some bonus material here we're going to put together after we sign off. Eric was on our full two-hour show yesterday and also did a bonus fantasy football segment. So enjoy it. We'll be back before week six. Signing off, Phil T with the Real Sports Guys.
Again, you're listening to Real Sports Guys, RealSportsGuys.com, RSG, Renegade Radio. I want to... We're going to hit you off with a treat. Our man Eric Hamilton has been doing the Fantasy Football Cypher. If you haven't had a chance to check it out, make sure you go to our page, download his weekly episode of the Fantasy Football Cypher. Get all your fantasy football information. He goes standard leagues. He gives you information on IDP leagues. Whatever you need, he's got you covered. He's going to hit us off with an interlude. A freestyle, you know, a B-side real quick. But we got to bring him in right. So, Eric Hamilton, ladies and gentlemen.
Get your game tight, player.
Fantasy football, life. Eric Hamilton, R.E., fantasy football expert.
He's got a very unique style, almost European.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable, and I'm just ferocious.
Football Sensei, Eric Hamilton.
Anytime he comes on, he kills it.
with this information right here, man, you're going to be able to go over and rush your lead, man. Get in the cypher.
Cold bum rush your league.
We got to bring him in. I get hype hearing that, man. I get hype hearing that right there, I tell you.
Hey, I'm telling you, man, my mini cats out there got their own intro music. You got to get a piece of it because it's got my own intro track.
Yep. RealSportsGuys.com.
Let's let folks know I got my own intro track. Look, man, you know, you don't come at me, you got to come at me proper. I got an intro song. Come on, that's all I'm trying to say. I got an intro song. You got
one? I got people.
Oh, man. So we got our man, Eric Hamilton, in. He's going to kind of give us a primer for what he has coming up in this week's Fantasy Football Cypher. Talk about IDPs for us a little bit, Eric.
Yeah, absolutely. Just a little tidbit to break a little insight in before the next cypher drops here the next day or so. A couple of defensive gems that just want to put everybody's attention to. The first one is a gentleman that is doing a fill-in job, but he's done so well, he's probably going to get this full-time job when this guy comes back. The starting middle linebacker for the Indianapolis Colts is Jarrell Freeman. And folks that are savvy with the IDP, they know that Pat Angerer was a stud last year. Indianapolis Colts, their home scorekeeper, is very friendly with assist tackles. And when I say very friendly, they led the league in assist tackles. I'm talking about this guy just checks off assisted tackles just to be doing it. So Jarrell Freeman, this guy, he puts in work. So the guy came out, he's a second-year player, came out of nowhere. Week one, he had 5 tackles and an interception. Week two, he's had 13 tackles and a sack. And then week three, he's had 9 tackles total. So Jarrell Freeman is one of these guys that can just flat-out tackle. He's got that same knack, like the Pat Angerer, like the Sean Lee, you know, folks that just are playmakers. And again, when you're in IDP, especially if tackles are prevalent and you know, it's a tackle-heavy league, you want guys that are going to be near that ball. I call them ball hawks. And this guy can find the ball, and he is going to lay the wood on the defender. So Jarrell Freeman, the guy, is available in most leagues. He's one of those slept-on guys. But, again, he posts nice numbers, and anytime he's at home playing in Indianapolis, he'll get a ton of assists. So that's my first defensive gem that I wanted to drop. My second one is Akeem Ayers. Now, this guy, linebacker, for the Tennessee Titans. His background is, this is his first year in the NFL. He led the CFL in tackles last year, and he finished runner-up for the most outstanding defensive players, honors, etc. 6 foot, 220 pounds, not a humongous guy, but again, we're talking about a ball hawk. Colin McCarthy, who is a middle linebacker, Tennessee Titans, that I was crazy about last year. The rookie just put up great numbers while he was in the game, but I think he came in middle of the season. He's playing alongside him. Now, Colin McCarthy is out with a leg injury, but he may be coming back in the next week. Getting sidetracked. So, Akeem Ayers, this guy's been putting up numbers. Ever since he came in week one against New England, he had 11 tackles. Week two against San Diego, he had 9 tackles. Week three against the Lions, that seemed like that game lasts forever, which was something we probably should have talked about, is that game right there. But anyway, that game lasts forever, and he finished with 16 tackles. So Akeem Ayers, again, another version of a ball hawk. The guy just flat-out make plays. In a tackle-heavy league, anytime you can get a guy that's going to post double-digit tackles, you're doing well, because that's automatically going to get you some good points there. So those are a couple of IDP gems, linebackers that should be available on your waiver wire. The league that we're in, unfortunately, they are both taken, but both of these guys will post major points for you going forward.
Now, I'm going to pass it to my man PhD in a moment, but first off, I just want to point out to the fans out there, this man goes deep. I mean, tell PhD, lyrics.
Yeah.
This brother just critiqued a team's scorekeeper.
Yeah. Yeah.
He just went after the scorekeeper.
He said, like, check off assistant tackles just to check something off.
I mean, that's like getting after the parking attendant.
Right. I mean, that is, yeah, that's...
Like, he knows this kind of, like, he went to high school with this dude his own.
Like, they didn't have the scorekeeper? Yeah, he's a chump. he ain't even doing his job well. He just be up there checking off the boxes. Just pressing buttons. It's a monkey.
You got a PhD.
So Eric, I mean, I have a close friend that needs some help with their fantasy roster. A friend. Long time ago. Bernie Mac, rest in peace. You know, I got a friend, man, that is really having a challenging time trying to find a tight end. You know, you got the first three guys of Gronk, Hernandez, Graham, maybe Gates. Not Gates, man. That dude get hurt. So
Vernon Davis. Yeah.
Vernon Davis. So, I mean, once you get past that first tier, I mean, you don't even have a third tier. You just have everybody else in the second tier. So, Eric, help me. I mean, my friend. Help my friend. choose from that zoo jungle of second-tier tight ends.
Yeah, absolutely. So some tight ends that should be available in most leagues. And, again, this year we've got some really, really – again, let me step back. The league is evolving. I mean, what New England did last year with their two tight ends and what New Orleans Saints did with Jimmy Graham, again, this is a copycat league. It evolved how the league is being played, okay? So tight ends are becoming more prevalent because now you can take someone with a blocking body that is big, that's strong, and can catch. So the Tony Gonzalez that's been doing it for 100 years, the guy played basketball, so he's good with his hands. He knows how to post up. That's why the guy still can get open. He's 76 years old, and the guy almost had 100 yards last year. Okay? I'm telling you, it's just, you know.
Why do you give him an A?
I'm just saying, but the guy's still kicking, though. He's still doing his thing.
Oh,
okay,
man.
So back to your question.
Oh,
okay,
man.
So
with that
next tier, I'll tell you who I really like. I really, really like this guy. It's from the New York Giants, Marcellus Bennett. This guy, last year he was in Dallas. The guy couldn't get
high and tight, Marcellus. High and tight, Marcellus.
Absolutely. He couldn't buy his way off the bench. But this year, he's playing with Eli, and Eli loves him in the red zone. Marcellus Bennett has at least one touchdown in each of his first three games. Again, you've got Knicks on one side. You've got Victor Cruz on the other side, and he's going to receive a lot of linebacker coverage because they can run the ball. New York Giants has a good balance. They can run the ball with Bradshaw or the newfound Andre Brown. He's going to have a lot of linebacker coverage. So you can best believe when they get near the end zone, this guy is going to be one of Eli's targets. So I really like Bennett. Another tight end I like, obviously, is Heath Miller. Again, going back to the end zone, Ben Roethlisberger has something going on with Heath Miller. Ben Roethlisberger said at the beginning of preseason that he wanted to help Heath Miller get to the Pro Bowl. And he's been doing his due diligence to try to get him to the doggone Pro Bowl. So Heath Miller had two touchdowns this last week. Again, a big target, red zone target, and he has the trust of Ben Roethlisberger. So I like those two guys going forward. I think those are, you know, right under that tier. Those two guys can fit right there. Now, another guy that I like just on the low is Kyle Rudolph. Again, another big, strong, talented guy that can catch. He has the respect. He's from Minnesota. He's got the respect of Ponder. If you notice, even on that touchdown, that crazy touchdown that Ponder threw and Adrian Peterson was wide open in the end zone, he forced the lob up to Kyle Rudolph, and he ended up catching it with the one hand with the defender on him. So, again, I really like Kyle Rudolph. I think if he's on the waiver wire list right after Bennett, and you know, Heath Miller, I'm grabbing him. We're pretty deep at tight ends this year, man. You could go on. There's probably another two that are good, solid tight ends, man. But I really, really like those three guys.
Now, Eric, I got one last question for you, man, about Chris Johnson before I send it back to Marcus here. So Chris Johnson, my first round pick, I know. Folks out there listening, don't even text message me. I already know. you know, man, I don't know what – I'm sorry, my friend, man. My friend does not know what to do with Chris Johnson, man. I mean, this dude started off with 19 carries for 21 yards. You know, this cat last week had 31 yards. His last four or five carries of the game, he lost 17 yards. You know, so what are you doing with Chris Johnson, man, if he's on your roster? And I mean, are you trying to get rid of him? Are you sitting him until he has a strong week? Help a brother out.
Well, you know, the unfortunate thing is it's going to be tough to get any kind of value for him, so you really can't trade him at this particular point, because no one's going to give you anything. He hasn't done anything to really warrant, other than holding on to his name. Nobody's going to give you anything for it. You know, the few things that I notice about Chris Johnson is, number one, the holes aren't there. And Chris Johnson is the type of back, if there's daylight, he's going to make a cornerback or safety miss. What he's not going to be able to do is run over a linebacker, or, you know, in between the tackles, make a linebacker miss if he doesn't have room. You know, he's one of those elusive guys that once he breaks that plane, once he's able to see a little bit of daylight, you're not going to catch him. And if he can get a cornerback or safety one-on-one, he'll make him miss. But the problem, he's not able to get on his gallop. He can't even start going because he's been, you know, assaulted by linemen and such. So the holes aren't there. So that's number one. The other thing about it, to your friend Phil, is after week six, his schedule gets a little easier. So if you can manage to hold on until week seven, he's got Buffalo followed by Indianapolis. He's got to go to Chicago, but then he's got Miami Dolphins. So, and then he's got a bye week right after that. So he should have a string of a couple of good games, Indianapolis and the Buffalo game, and even the Dolphin game, where you might be able to see some value out of him. And you know, try to move the guy. He actually finishes pretty strong, too. I mean, he's got a couple of games against Jacksonville, Green Bay. So, you know, there's some – don't expect top, you know, top 15, top 20 numbers out of the guy. He's obviously starting a little late, but he should still be able to get you a few good games where the offensive line can block. And, again, he's faster than about anybody in the league. So once he sees daylight, he's going to make use of that daylight. But it's just he's had a tough schedule. He needs some holes. So if you can hold on to him for another few weeks, I would. He'll have a couple of good games, especially against, you know, those two teams, you know, in Indianapolis and Buffalo. So hang on to him for your friend. Hold on to him if you can. I know you want to give him away for a box of rocks, but just hold on to him. He will pay dividends at least for a couple of weeks.
All right. So there you have it. You know, Chris Johnson, hang on to him. Hang on to him. We appreciate Eric breaking it down for us. Our resident fantasy football guru, you're listening to the Real Sports Guys, realsportsguys.com. Right now, we're going to get into a new segment that we have called Onions. All right? Let's just jump right into it.
How to plant onions.
We got Bill Raffy helping us out right there. So onions, all right. You gotta have onions in life, all right. So we're gonna make some bold predictions, two bold predictions apiece. Everybody's got two onions. Right, so two bold predictions apiece for the next coming weekend sports. I will lead off. My first bold prediction. Eric has this team as one of his top, if not the top team in the league. I'm going to go bold prediction. The Houston Texans lose at home to the Tennessee Titans this weekend. Jake Locker, who none of us really like, snapped last week.
He did.
And we didn't get a chance to talk about it. But in that that Lions-Houston, I'm sorry, Lions-Tennessee game, I started to call them the Houston Oilers. That yeah. Lions-Tennessee game, the kid balled. I think that this is one of those games where Houston is going to get caught looking, looking to their bye week, not really locked in on this particular team, kind of thinking, oh, sorry, not their bye week, but looking to the next week, which they have a Monday night game against the New York Jets. I think they're going to kind of overlook this when this is a divisional team. They know them real well. And I think, you know, Tennessee, I think this may be the game when your boy CJ2K kind of gets back on track. Now, Houston's defense has been bringing it.
He's going to be on my bench.
Listen, I'm not going. Look, you heard it from your boy Game Changer. Put him in. That's my first onion of the week. My next onion involved another team involved in that Monday night game, the New York Jets. The New York Jets at home against the San Francisco 49ers. I'm going with an upset special right there. I know the 49ers, again, one of those top teams in the league. I think the Jets are going to rally. The Jets always need a little bit extra. With Darrell Revis going down with his knee injury, questions about their secondary, especially on the defensive side of the ball, if any part of that team is going to rally and show up and have an out-of-their-mind game, it's the defense. That's the one piece of that team that's capable of playing as good as any other unit in the league on that particular side of the ball. I think they're going to make it a very, very long day for your boy Alex Smith. I think Sanchez is going to have one of his good days. We may even get a little bit of Tebow action. But I think ultimately we're going to see an upset. It's going to come down to the wire. It's going to be a 2 or 3 point game, but I think the Jets are going to pull it out at home against the 49ers. Those are my onions for week 4. PhD.
So my first onion, man, is that the number 8 ranked Stanford Cardinal will lose to the Washington Huskies. Man, I'm real high on this quarterback, Keith Price for Washington. But here's a guy who broke a bunch of records that Jake Locker didn't even set last year. I mean, he threw 33 touches, pass efficiency over 150, completed almost 67% of his passes. I think this guy's going to have a breakout game, and they're going to surprise the Cardinal, who just had a surprise themselves over USC. My second one is I like Philly big, 2 touchdowns over the Giants on Sunday Night Football. Those are my 2 onion picks.
All right. Hamilton.
You know, I want to say great minds think alike, because both you guys actually touched on a couple of my onions, but going out on a limb here, I've got as my first one, I've got the great backup, reminiscent of Frank Wright, right before a lot of catch days, but reminiscent of Frank White. Sean Hill will lead the Detroit Lions to a victory this weekend. Now, first, I'm not even considering that Matt Stafford is or isn't going to play, because I don't think he's going to play, because next week is their bye week. I think they're going to hold him out, and Sean Hill gets a start, and they just rest Stafford to the bye week. So my first bold prediction is,
man, they didn't cut Sean Hill.
Let's go, man. Let's go.
They didn't cut him, man.
No, man, he's still rolling, man. That's cold, man. Stop.
I thought they cut him.
Hey, man, he just scored 2 touchdowns in 15 seconds. Come on, man. Yeah, that's cold.
But Schwartz gave him a real nice hearty handshake. Yeah.
So that's the onion for your butt. Sean Hill leads the Lions past the Vikings. All right, so that's the first piece right there. My next one, I'm going with an upset special. One of my top 5 teams in the league, the Baltimore Ravens. They take an L to the lowly Trent Richardson and the gang.
Mm.
Cleveland Browns go to Baltimore, and they put their foot on Ray Lewis
and the Ravens' neck. They come out with an ugly W.
Man, what's up with you in Cleveland, man? On the cipher, man.
I was trying to get him back, man. I gave him some love, man. I was trying to get the fans back.
I mean, but you gave him like a backhanded compliment. The lowly, horrible, sad, sickly. Browns will win a game. I mean, hey, man.
Hey, Cleveland, it's all love, baby. So I got y'all with the W. Hey,
I mean, on the
fantasy
cipher a couple of weeks ago, man. On the fantasy cipher a couple of weeks ago, I mean, you came after the Browns, man. You came after them.
Bill, they offensively challenged. I'm gonna be honest with you.
To put it nicely.
Yeah, I was actually at the Browns game against the Bills, man, and it was bad. Wheaton, man, it just looked bad. It was just horrible. That's all I can say. Goodness.
Yeah.
I mean, the crowd got really fired up in the second quarter when we got a first down. Really?
Hey, I'm telling you, I'm not on that Wheaton bandwagon, man. He's 28, all right? He's like 3 years younger than me. He's got like 100 more snaps under his belt. Come on, man. Nah, I'm not in on that. I'm not in on that guy, man. So, those are this week's Irons. All right, so we're going to check back in and see how we did with our predictions. You know, hopefully we're giving you some information you can trust. Again, all you fantasy cats out there, man, CJ2K, put them in. You heard it here first. Now, real quick, before we get into the dog of the week, I do want to touch base on that Detroit, since you brought up Sean Hill. Let's talk about that Detroit-Tennessee game real quick. Man, it's a lot of points scored. What happened at the end? PhD,
you both these guys are Michigan guys. So somewhere deep down in your soul, you have a soft spot for Honolulu Blue. Whether you admit it or not, it's there because it was born into you. All right?
Okay.
What happened on the last play of the game? Sean Hill came in and made some amazing plays, got the team back into the game, put them in position to win, and then something just went terribly wrong on that last play. What was up?
I don't know. I'm passing to Eric. What you got, Eric? I'm speechless.
Well, first, I am a Lion fan, first and foremost, so let me back up. I think it was a phenomenal comeback by the Detroit Lions. Titus Young finally made himself worthy. He caught that Hail Mary piece, which would have been the play of the week until yesterday's fiasco. So, you know, it was an amazing comeback. Amazing comeback. Just to get to overtime, I must add. Those Lions were roaring. Okay, I'm going to tell you that right there. Now, it was simple. It was simply, okay, so you've got the center that's in the game, and you've got Sean Hill that's coming in. Now, Sean Hill doesn't get much PT, so he doesn't get much practice with first team. Phil, you know how the second team cats work. He ain't really practiced with them very much. So Sean Hill come in, you know, he's not ready for a two-minute offense. So he gets, you know, to fourth and one. Hey, they like, okay, we just going to draw him off sides, okay? You know, hey, don't do nothing. That'd be asinine to actually hike the ball, bro. So, you know, Sean Hill goes in. Hey, the center's not used to his cadence. So, you know, the center's like, okay, well, this cat, he must mean, let's go. So he hikes the ball, and Sean Hill didn't get anywhere. So I think it was just a breakdown in communication. It was simply because the backup quarterback that doesn't get any PT happened to be in overtime, which is a different story. It was just a breakdown in communication. That won't happen again.
All right. Let's hope not, because if the Lions lose any more of these close, because the Lions are in a tough division, and they can't take a whole lot of bad losses, you know, losing to the Titans. The Titans are a competitive team, and the margin of error in the NFL is very small. But overall, the Lions are the better team, and they should win those games. And they have to win those games because they're going to be looking at – they're going to be in a division where you got the Packers and the Bears. And lucky for them, the Packers lost, so they're still kind of in it. And the Vikings are looking like a tough out now. You know, I don't think they're great, but they're obviously competitive, and they, any given Sunday, they can get you. So, you know.
So, we'll see how that goes with the Lions. Right now, we're going to get into the Resistance Digital Dog of the Week.